Well, today we are so thankful to have you, man. What a great spirit in the house this morning. I want to introduce our speakers today. Of course, many of you had a chance to hear them already at the marriage retreat. And for those of you who didn't today, Pastor Kirk and Nancy Pankratz, they pastor a great, tremendous church there in Oklahoma City, Church of the Harvest. They have the mother church there, and they also have five other campuses besides that one that are connected to their church that they're pastoring as well, through satellite and some through live pastors. And God has done a tremendous work. They are impacting their Oklahoma City region in Oklahoma. They are in Norman and in Stillwater. That takes God. If you know anything about, some of you are not from Oklahoma, it takes one thing to have a church in the headquarters of the Oklahoma State Cowboys and the OU Sooners at the same time and bring unity to your church. So even though he's an OU fan at heart, I know he has to speak the words of unity as well. But several years ago in ministry as a young minister, just as a youth pastor, I had a chance to connect with their church. They have a tremendous youth ministry called Youth America there. They have hundreds and hundreds of students going through their youth programs and summer camps through the summertime. You know, it's one thing to say you believe in investing in the younger generation, but it's another thing to put your money where your mouth's at. And I can tell you this, not only is this written on their purpose statement and on their wall, but they have backed it with their lifestyle and even with the financing of the church. They have invested greatly in the, raising up the next generation. And I know that many times when I was there several years ago, that they would speak to us, whether Pastor Kirk, it was 6 or 12 of us around a round table in a small room down in the basement, or whether it was upstairs in a conference room packed out with people. He always brought the same passion and always poured into us. Many things that he poured into me at a young age as a minister, I still hold true to today, and has shaped me and to the leader I've become. And so it's my great privilege today to welcome pastors of Church of the Harvest in Oklahoma City, Pastor Kurt and Nancy. Will you guys please give them a welcome today from Destiny? We love you guys.
Good morning, church. It's good to see everyone. We're so excited about being here today. I really enjoyed the first service. Man, the praise and worship here is just out of this world. Come on, let's thank God for the worship team here. I'm so glad that my wife Nancy was able to spend this weekend with me as well. We got the chance to be with a number of couples here at the church on the marriage retreat. Listen, if you haven't been on the marriage retreat before, dear Lord, you're going to learn some things about the people of your church. Trust me, you really don't know, but will want to know. Okay, I am not responsible for the rumors that come out after the weekend, all right? But anyway, I'm so glad my wife is with me. Nancy, can you stand? Will you give her a hand, please? We've been married. It will be 32 years this summer, so we are so blessed. We have three children. All three are married. Our son has given us two wonderful grandchildren, a 2.5-year-old, a little girl, and a 1-year-old little boy. And I'm telling you, grandparenting is the real deal. Are there any grandparents here today? Listen, grandkids are God's gift for not killing your own children, all right? They are the best. Listen, what God is doing right here at your church, it's truly amazing. And I want to tell you, I have such a respect for Pastor Gene and Melody. They are such an incredible couple. And, amen. Come on, let's give your pastors a big hand. Come on, they deserve it. Yeah. Come on, don't hold back. Amen. That's good. Embarrass them regularly like that, okay? They are a great couple. And Gene, as he was talking about, we had the chance to connect through the Youth America ministries that we do, and I've just loved his heart. Man, he just stays eternally young. I mean, he looks like he does when he was 25 or 30-ish, and I, on the other hand, do not have that blessing. But anyway, there's a kindred spirit there, a real divine connection there. And listen, there are a couple of our six campuses I've not even been on Sunday morning. That just because of the multiple campuses and just praying, Holy Spirit put me in the place we want to be. But for us to travel and go is really a rare thing, especially on a Sunday. But I want you to know I really, really sensed a divine appointment and connection, not only with them, but to be here with you as well. And so I'm expecting some great things today, but we love you so much. We honor you, Pastor. And listen, church, you need to just continue to raise your sights for what God is going to do through Destiny Church in this region, because the best is yet to come. Come on, if you believe that, give God a praise, all right? By the way, if you love praise and worship, which I know you do, a part of this church, it's not just music, it's praise and worship. I want to encourage you, check out some of the stuff we've done. Our last Youth America album, I think it's called Only One, released last year. It was number one album on the Christian charts on iTunes. If you're interested in getting that, I think you can still go on iTunes and download it. If not, just Google and search Church of the Harvest or Youth America in Oklahoma City, and you can find your way to the music page and get some of that. Order some of that stuff. I know we were doing some Israel songs this morning, and you may not know this, but Israel Houghton played keyboard a number of years for the Youth America summer camps as we were leading teenagers. I was just reminded of that this morning. Cindy Cruz Ratliff, who's a worship leader at Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas, was a backing vocalist for a number of years. Matter of fact, let me tell you how rebellious Cindy was. Can I tell her just a little bit? It was in an era where people were starting to wear, you know, the jeans with the holes, you know, holes all over them. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Today that's not as cool, but then it was really cool, and we literally had to have her go change her jeans before one meeting, because it was too much. It was blinding teenagers' eyes in the summer camp. Lincoln Brewster was another, played lead guitar many summers for us, and on and on. But it just, the stories of what God has done through Youth America are phenomenal. I think this summer we will now have hosted 100,000 teenagers in week-long summer camps. And we'll have almost 4,000 teenagers through our Youth America camps, and then we'll have another 2,000 or 3,000 in other camps we're a part of. So it's a great, great summer, and so many lives changed. And I'm so glad that God connected us through that avenue, through that movement that God was doing. So, by the way, Gene and Melody told me they were thinking about having more children while we were having lunch the other day. Okay, the oldest daughter says no. Gene says yes. Yay, Lord. Or he's actually saying, I rebuke you, Kirk, in the name of Jesus. But anyway, I thought, man, they finished off with twins. Why not triplets? I think that would just be a crowning achievement for triplets. I don't know. All right. Well, let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, I pray that you use this time to open our eyes and reveal to us the great things that you've purposed for our life. We're hungry for you. We want you. We long for you. We want to connect more with all you're doing. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. For a few moments today, I want to talk to you on a message I've simply entitled, This Thing Called Life. Come on, say it after me, if you will. This thing called life. You know, when you use that term and try to describe what it means to experience life in Christ, oftentimes we're talking about several different things and not necessarily the very thing that Jesus wants us to connect with. John chapter 1, if you have your Bible, John chapter 1 and verse 4, the Apostle John was writing about Jesus, and he said about him in verse 4, in him, or in Christ, was life. Come on, everybody say life. And the life, everybody say life. And the life was the light of men. You know, I think sometimes we can read over verses in the Bible like this, and they seem so simple, yet they are incredibly profound if we dig a little deeper than what's on the surface. This thing called life. If I were to ask you to describe what that means, life as a Christian, chances are every single one of us could have a different opinion of what it may be. Trust me, people who are non-Christians have a totally different perspective of what that can be. Yet, even in the Bible itself, when the word life is written in the English version of the Bible, it actually means different things in different places because it's a different Greek word. See, the Bible was not written, the original scripture was not written in the English language. Does everybody know that? Just want to make sure you're clear on that. I've heard people actually argue that the King James Version was the original version of the Bible. Not so. The Bible, the New Testament, was originated in Greek, went through many different translations before it was translated into English. The problem with the English language is we have a limitation of words to describe the greater scope of words written in the Greek language. For example, the word love in the Bible. Everyone say love. When you refer to the word love in the Bible, there are five different Greek words that are translated into the English love. One is eros. One means belonging. One is friendship. One is a self-sacrificing love. So when you see the word love, you need to know, which love is that? What does that really mean? The same thing is true about the word life. Even Jesus uses different words that are translated for life, Paul and others. For example, there is one word in the Bible referred to as life where Jesus said, take no thought for your life. Does it mean the same thing as what's written here that we just read? The word life I just referred to is a Greek word, psyche. It's where we get our English word psychology. Everyone say psychology. It's really talking about your psychological makeup, your mind, your will, your emotions, your moods, how you filter life in that way. Most people think that we encounter life through how it affects our emotions, how it affects our mood, how it affects our mind, and we limit it there. That's just the psychological part of you. Other people, another word translated life in the Bible, where Paul said, pray for those in authority over you that you might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Come on, everyone say life. Totally different word than here. It's the word bios. It's where we get our word biology. And in that case, it's talking about the term of your life, the course of your life, the journey of your life, maybe even your genetics and those kinds of things. It's the way most people, non-Christians, and even the majority of Christians comprehend when Jesus talks about life, this is what he's saying. Then there's another word where we as Christians identify life with, and it's the word eternity or eternal, aeonios. And it means no beginning, no end. When we refer to eternity, what we're really referring to is the afterlife. Come on, how many of you are grateful for heaven that one day, if you belong to Jesus, you're going to know the reality of heaven, right? Yeah, come on. Well, listen to this. Jesus wants to impact all those areas of your life, your psychology, your biology, and certainly your afterlife, and thank God. But this word life has nothing to do with those. This word life is something totally different that we as Christians can be chasing an experience of life through the other things I've described and miss the greatest connection of the life that comes from our relationship with God that we're meant to know. This word life is the word Zoe, Z-O-E. Everyone say Zoe life. And this word life speaks about all of the life that is within God. In him was life, Zoe life. In God is a life source that is made up of the very ethical and essentials of God. Everything that makes God who he is alive, that life is what Jesus wants us to know. Romans chapter 5, 18 and 19 from the Message Bible tells us that Jesus came to do more than just get us out of trouble. He came to do more, in other words, than to just deal with the sin problem. It goes on and says, he came that he can get us back into life. Come on, everybody, say life. Removing the sin barricade is just a part of the problem. Many of us as Christians, we know that we're forgiven. We've experienced our sins being removed, all the things that come with that. But we stop short of connecting with the source of Zoe life, or we go about it the wrong way, and we never know the life-giving power of God in the way that he has meant for us. See, before we were saved, we had no clue that existed. And even after we become a Christian, we can sometimes miss or not catch what it's really all about, this thing called life. I want you to say it again. Say this thing called life. Now, Think with me for a moment. Go all the way back to Adam and Eve. We know Adam and Eve were placed in the garden. They disobeyed God. They ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. Come on, everybody, say life. Listen, and they sinned. Hear this. Sin is far worse than bad behaving people. Far worse than that. What they did was far worse than bad behavior or disobeying God. It went beyond that, and it actually ripped the presence of God from mankind himself. See, when I talk about this thing called life, what I'm talking about is the very presence and essence of God, where we're connected with it, where we know it, where we experience it. As we go through this today, I believe it will help you see your walk with God in such a significant, different way. Now, look with me, if you will, at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and food and good for food. The tree of life," everyone say life, "was also in the midst of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge," everyone say knowledge, "of good and evil." They were two different sources. Verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge," everyone say knowledge, "of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Well, we know that Adam, in essence, what he did it, he traded life as his source. Now in its place, he chose knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, as his source. When I talk about life, let me give you a little more description. Life is the very thing that fills the atmosphere in the kingdom of heaven, the presence of God. You see, Jesus said the kingdom of God is present among us. It's at hand right now. Right now, your natural eye can only see the kingdom of this world. You see the chairs, you see the carpet, you see the flesh on people. But if your eyes were open where you could see into the invisible kingdom of God, you would recognize right here among us is his presence or his life force filling the atmosphere. In this world, you breathe air. But when you connect with the kingdom of God, you breathe in the life, the Zoe life of God. Remember, God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. He breathed life into him. Life, this life power, this life source, this presence of God is all around us, all about us, but often we're not even aware of it. It's right in, it's within our hands' reach. It's within every opportunity to experience and meet a need in our life. But oftentimes we're not aware of it because we're not seeking God through this life connection. We're seeking him through a knowledge connection. You see, what Adam and Eve did was they chose, instead of connecting with God through this power source of life, they chose knowledge. They chose the pursuit of knowledge. Let me give you another definition of this word life. Aliveness. Come on, everybody say aliveness. Haven't you noticed that every human being at some point goes through many different times where we're just trying to feel alive? I mean, think about it. In the name of trying to sense and experience what was the aliveness of God, man, through the knowledge of evil, will try to feel alive. He'll do dumb things that could be harmful to him, all in an effort to feel alive, to experience something beyond the boring limitations of the life they have. I just want to feel alive. It's the old sex, drugs, and rock and roll theory. They'll go after the knowledge of evil, trying to just feel alive because they feel empty, only to end up feeling empty in the end. On the other hand, even we as Christians can try to pursue God trying to feel alive through the knowledge of good. We'll try to do enough good things where we feel good about ourselves, where we feel alive, where we do an act of kindness and we sense something in us. We feel alive only to realize after a certain point, if we're not careful, We actually burn out doing good things, trying to feel alive. And we, if we're not careful, we take a toxic opinion then of the church, of God, and we miss out. And it's all because we're trying to seek God through knowledge instead of seeking God through this life source of power. Let me give you another example. How many of you here, you either own a computer, work on a computer, or you have actually seen a computer before? Come on, hold your hand up. Okay. All right, we are in a computer society. Who knows that a computer, for it to work, for the computer to come alive, you have to have a power cord, electrical cord, a power cord, and you plug it into the wall socket, right? And you connect with power. It travels through the cord, and the computer comes alive. All the bells and whistles and lights and stuff come alive and begin to work and operate. Am I right? The only way that computer is going to come alive is if you are connected to the life source of power through this power connection, this life power connection. Imagine, if you will, that instead of trying to experience the power to make the computer alive, instead of going through the power source, the power cord, you tried to plug in a data cord instead. You know what a data cord is, don't you? A data cord, for example, is like that cord that runs from your computer to your printer. Only data can knowledge, information. Only information and knowledge can travel through that data cord to your printer. Who knows if you try to plug the data cord, the knowledge cord, into the wall socket, no life or power is coming through it. No matter how much you try, nothing is coming through it, okay? What Adam did, in essence, was he changed, by turning from the tree of life, he changed this power cord connection for the life of God that fills the atmosphere of the kingdom to be his source in every need. He turned to a data cord, and now through knowledge, he was tempted by Satan through the serpent seducing him. You want to be as wise as God is? Listen, eat of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He actually thought he could be as smart as God. Come on, how many of you know man will never be as smart as God? All right. Now, though, he is trying to pursue knowing God simply through knowledge, through what man can know on his own, rather than by connecting through the source of life. That problem has created all kinds of issues and limitations in man today. Now, let me think about this. Number one, knowledge has limitations. The question we have to ask ourselves is, could it be that you're trying to pursue God through a knowledge connection rather than through a life power connection? Could you be seeking God merely through knowledge, and then you find out knowledge is not enough? Okay? Now, nothing inherently wrong with knowledge. Knowledge can be good. But how many of you know knowledge has limitations? Listen, the knowledge that man walks in cannot even cure a common cold today. The knowledge that man walks in cannot cure cancer. The knowledge that man has, it just has limitations. I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm just saying it's just not enough. Listen, our knowledge of good is never sufficient to change the evil in us. You see, there's something in us that holds us back as human beings that if we think we don't totally comprehend or understand something or it can make logical sense, we struggle accepting it. Let me give you an example. How many of you know that the scripture says we are to forgive one another? Come on, look at the person beside you and say, I forgive you. But how many of you have read that verse before? It's good. It's the knowledge of good. It's the word of God. It's the knowledge of good. You've heard it's important to forgive. But just because you know you are to forgive, just because you have read you are to forgive, just because you have, to the best of your ability, have grasped you are to forgive, how many of you know knowing that and actually experiencing that are two different things? But have you ever had the moment where you knew that, but then all of a sudden, maybe you were in church, like during worship today, and there was a moment where you became aware of the presence of God, the life of God, and what you could not do in a moment, all of a sudden broke free in you. You connected with the life source of God, and you were able to freely forgive and break through. When your head couldn't do it, your heart received what God was doing. Amen? Listen to this. One moment in the presence of God can do more than a lifetime of labor. All right? There's something powerful about not relying purely on knowledge, but shifting and connecting, being totally dependent upon God as our source. Now look with me at John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5. It says, in him was life, the Zoe life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Listen to verse 5 from the New International Reader's Version. It says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. What's he really talking about here? He's giving us a metaphor, light and darkness. Come on, everybody say light and darkness. He said that through life, through the Zoe life that I'm talking about, through that connection and drawing from that, that is light. The opposite of that is darkness. Well, we know that the connection that it limits us in darkness is now knowledge. It says that darkness, or trying to approach God through knowledge alone, you'll never be able to comprehend it. You'll never be able to get it. Again, there's something in us. I encounter people all the time, especially the younger generation. I encounter these guys that they're on this quest to know the truth. I just want to know the truth. So they sometimes want to go beyond Christianity because they've not really known the life source of God. They've just looked into the knowledge portion of it. And so they're on this quest, studying different religions, interacting with different people, trying to even mix politics with it. And they're in the search for the truth. The translation of that is, I'm finally going to know enough, have enough knowledge that I will experience an epiphany and arrive at this place of perfect balance and utopia. I know the knowledge of the truth. Let me tell you something. The truth man is seeking has nothing to do with knowledge. The truth is not knowledge. The truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Oh, come on. When one claps, we all clap. Let's give a big response, all right? There is a life source God wants us to experience. When it says through knowledge, listen, this will never make sense. This will never fully make sense. Through knowledge, knowledge we understand will tell us, make what you can, put it in a can, sit on the can, right? Save it. Knowledge says, invest it in a Wall Street portfolio that can guarantee, or hopefully, a 6% return, a 10% return, or whatever it may be. That's what knowledge, our ability to rationalize, to accept, says. God's Word says, give it away, and it'll come back to you, good measure, pressed down and shaking together. Give it away, and it'll come back 30, 60, or 100-fold. How many of you know, just trying to approach that with knowledge, it doesn't maketh senseth. Your brain can't logically wrap around that. But when you experience an encounter with the living God, the life force of God, a moment in the presence of God, He opens your eyes beyond what knowledge was limited in telling you. And when the world says you're foolish, when the world says you're stupid, when the world says that does not compute, you're like, I'm plugged into the life of God. He supersedes what the knowledge of man can comprehend. That's the kind of life I want to live. Amen? You see, there's something in us that we want to connect to and not be limited with just mere knowledge, but tap into this knowledge of God. Tap into this walk with Him. Listen, revelation goes beyond knowledge. That's a great word in the Bible, reveal. Revelation, reveal. It means to expose, to take the cover off, to take the lid off. Information or knowledge can change thought, but only revelation can change belief. Think about this. There is a big difference between thoughts and beliefs. How many of you ever watched an infomercial, a knowledge commercial about some workout equipment? Buy the equipment, work out for 3 months, have six-pack abs. Come on, how many of you have had the thought before? You've had the thought before, I could do that. How many of you have the thought, I'm going to work out and get healthy, I'm going to do those? Come on, how many of you have had several thoughts about that before? You've heard people talk about it. But it did not change you. Come on, say amen, ouch, something. Why? Because it was a thought and not a belief. Information can change a thought, can give you a new thought. But until it becomes a belief deep down in you, where it's revealed to you beyond what your head can get around, but you connect with the life of God and He reveals this to you. Now you own it. See, to comprehend it, where it says the darkness could not comprehend that He is the life, it couldn't. Those that operate in knowledge alone and try to make it all rational and logical, it won't make sense. Comprehend, it says it could not comprehend, it means it could not take hold of it. It could not own it as its own. It could not take it as its own. It actually means to catch. Comprehend means to catch. Well, through darkness or knowledge alone, you cannot catch everything God is doing. How many of you know there are just some things are taught and some things are caught? Come on, let's say it together. Some things are taught and some things are caught. Jesus was encountering the disciples in Matthew 16, and He asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they begin to respond, the knowledge, how these people were trying to process through their limited knowledge who Jesus was. He must be Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the prophets. He's come back from the dead. He's one of them. Peter stopped and Jesus stopped and He asked him, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said to Him, "You are the Christ," meaning you are the one who can meet every single need in my life. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, "Listen, Simon Bar-Jonah, you are blessed." That was his surname. "You are blessed. Flesh and blood, man has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, my Father has revealed this to you." Well, he was able to understand and grasp and connect to the life source of God when everyone around him thought he was someone else. They missed the power and the life of God right in the midst of them because they were trying to connect merely through the knowledge they could process in their head. Come on, say amen. See, church, there is just something in us where we need to experience the life source of God. It's all around you. God is right here. He is among you. And He wants to open your senses, if you will, where you become aware of it. Four years ago, our youngest daughter had been married, actually, just 2 months, and she started having a lot of physical problems and symptoms. She actually started itching all over her body. I mean, all over her body. The soles of her feet, the palms of her hand, every ounce of flesh was itching severely. She would try all different kinds of lotions and all different types of things. She went through, was it 27? I think it was 27 different doctor appointments and studies to try to find what was wrong with her. We thought maybe she was allergic to her husband. They just got married 2 months, you know what I mean? And maybe there was something in his system that she was allergic to. I'm not kidding. We thought, well, maybe, you know, she's taking something new, or maybe it's a laundry detergent, or maybe there's something where she's living. It's got to be something like that. Took 3 months to find out. And I remember when they discovered what it was and declared the diagnosis. We were standing in the room with her brother and sister and her husband and Nancy and I with the doctor. And he said these words. It was like a horror scene. "Megan, you have stage 3 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer." And then I remember the doctor said these words, "I'm sorry, dear, but your life will never be the same again." That was overwhelming. Maybe in your life right now, you have a family member that has gotten a report like that, some life-threatening thing. Listen, I've faced all kinds of pressures in my life. Some of the greatest financial pressures I've experienced. They're overwhelming. Don't even compare to a report like that that's life-threatening in your own child. And I remember walking from that moment. Listen, I've been a pastor almost 30 years. I've been around people who've had cancer. I've been around people with incurable diseases. I've been in every situation you can imagine, prayed for people of all kinds, and just thought that I understood what they were dealing with. Had no clue. And I remember we walked out of the doctor's office, and we went into the car, and we sat down, and Megan just broke down and just wept and sobbed. I mean, one of those things that as a parent, you've never been around anything more painful and hopeless feeling for a moment. They found on her upper chest, near her neck, a tumor the size of an orange. And when they took the x-ray, it was so large, it pushed her trachea to a 45-degree angle. It was the weirdest looking thing you've ever seen. They freaked out, the doctors. "We've got to get her in the hospital right now. Her respiratory system could fail at any moment." I mean, they were desperate that this thing could kill her right now. And then as they learned more about the cancer, and the kind it was, and they shared the odds with us of being able to be okay. I can't even repeat them. It was not one of those you've got an 80% chance. That would have been good news. It was frightening, horrible. You know, in that moment, thank God you have had an experience of walking with God through all that time. And as we began to process this and walk through this, there was just something that rose up in us, a defiance toward the attack of the enemy on our life. You know what? We had all the knowledge. I've got as much knowledge probably as anyone in this room about the healing power of God. I've got as much knowledge about what God has promised, maybe as anyone in this room. I've heard all the scriptures. I preached on healing. It's interesting. I was just starting a series called Healed in our church the week this came out. I mean, listen, Nancy and I and our kids have all this kind of knowledge, but there's a point when knowledge, not enough. We needed to connect with the life source of God to take us beyond that fear. The fear was overwhelming. I remember for Nancy and I, it came at church that first Sunday after the news. In praise and worship, we're holding hands there, and the enemy is racing, the thoughts racing through our head. "I'm going to kill your daughter. She's going to die a horrible death. I'm going to wreck her life and your lives." And then just in a moment, in the time of praise and worship, I can't even explain how it happened. It's like the kingdom of God. We caught a glimpse of it. And the life force of God connected with our heart and mind. And all of a sudden, a peace flooded over us. And a knowing beyond what logic said, what the odds said, that Megan would be all right, that Megan would be healed, that everything would turn out well. And all of a sudden, we were connected to this supernatural strength. For her, we would pray and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in everything they would do, and we chose to do treatment. And the morning following her first chemotherapy treatment, she was in the hospital bed. Her husband was sleeping on the cot beside her that night. It was very early in the morning. When we arrived to check back on her that morning, She said, "Mom and Dad, something happened to me that I don't even know how to explain it." She said, "When I woke up today, I was laying in my bed and I was just trying to think about what was going on. And all of a sudden, the presence of God just filled the hospital room where I was." And she said, it felt like I could feel God wrapping his arms around me and embracing me and holding me and telling me, "It's okay. Everything's going to work out okay. You're going to be all right." And that went on for one solid hour. When we came and heard that, I'm going to tell you, as a grateful father towards my heavenly Father, I was so overwhelmed that God was revealing himself that way. I could see the effect that it had on Megan, that she had connected with the very life source of God, and that everything was going to work out. It was an incredible journey. After first two treatments, they were hoping, praying, the doctors, for 6% reduction in the orange-sized tumor here and an apple-sized tumor in her lower abdomen. It had already shrunk over 60%. After four treatments, it was totally gone. After 3 years, it's been 4 years now, after 3 years, the kind that she has, they declared her totally clear and free from the medical field's thought. She's cured. She's well. It's been 4 years now. She's totally healed and whole. Amen. Let me tell you something. There are times when knowledge is not enough. When it will not be enough to get you through the struggle with your spouse. When knowledge will tell you love your spouse, it won't be enough. You'll know that's what the Word says. You know that's what you should do. Mentally, you'll know that's what should occur. But when you rely and connect with and depend on the presence of God and have those experiences in your life, it will take what looks impossible and it will change it to become a reality. I'm telling you, that is the kind of life we need to draw from. That is the kind of power we need in our life. That's the way God has created each and every one of us to live, to know his life-giving strength in all of us. Come on, let's give him a praise, all right? I'm not sure where you are today, but I can assure you that God wants you to not lean on the knowledge that man can comprehend, but to turn and want to connect with the presence of God, with the life source and strength of God. You were created to know that aliveness and power for whatever you may face in life. Today, my friend, if you've never connected with his life source, or maybe you are a Christian and you have, but you've been going about it the wrong way. It's not wrong to study the Bible. Don't misunderstand me. But your dependency is not upon the good you learn and can do. It's not dependent upon what you can comprehend. It's, "Father, let me get in your presence. Let me sense your life." And he will work in you what doesn't make sense to the natural man, what never made sense to anyone else. But it will be more than enough for what you need in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each and every person today. Thank you for your desire for them to not only know that the sin barricade has been removed, that you've forgiven our sins, that we can walk in a new relationship with you as a child of God because Jesus paid the price for that sin. Father, help us see that Jesus did not only get us out of trouble, but Father, he came to get us back into life, into this Zoe, life force of God. Father, I pray that you begin to open eyes and put people on a quest to seek you and know you and experience you in ways and in a consistency like they have never known before. With every head bowed and every eye closed, right now, if you've never made Jesus your Savior and Lord, if you've never connected with the source of life that I'm talking about, I want to pray for you. Maybe you've had a knowledge of God. Maybe you've had a knowledge of religion. Maybe you're a good person. Maybe you've done some wonderful things. Maybe you go to church. But you've never trusted in Him and His life. Or maybe you're someone that you are a Christian, but you realize you've drifted from God. You don't feel close to Him. You feel like there's distance between you and God. Listen, God hasn't turned His back on you. He loves you. He's not angry with you. He's calling you back for a fresh start. I want to pray for you that you'll rededicate your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd say, Kirk, that's me, pray for me. I'm ready to know Jesus as my Savior. Or I'm ready to rededicate my life to Him. That's me. I want to make that decision and choice today. No one's looking around. If that's you right now, I want you just to boldly lift your hand up and put it right back down. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's me, Kirk. Pray for me. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. I see your hand here on the front. You can put it down. That's me, Kirk. Pray for me. Listen, I'm not asking you to stand or walk forward. I'm not asking you to give a speech. We're going to pray right where you are as a group. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But I am asking you to have the courage to tell God, to tell me you want this prayer. If you haven't lifted your hand yet, but you know you need to. Come on, this is your moment right now. No one's looking around. Boldly put it up. Yes. Right back down. I see your hand. That's me. Come on, if that's you. One, two, three. You lift your hand up. Yes. I see your hand. Yes. I see your hand. Yes. I see your hand back there. That's me. Yes. I see your hand. That's me, Kirk. Last time. If you need to lift your hand and you haven't. Yes. I see your hand over there. God bless you. That's me, Kirk. Pray for me. That's me. Yes. I see your hand there. That's me. Sir, come on. God's dealing with you right now. It's time to surrender. It's time to let go and trust God. It's called faith. It won't make logical sense. You put your trust in Him, and He'll cause it to be real in your life. If you need to lift your hand, sir, ma'am, last time, just boldly put it up. Put it right back down. Kirk, that's me. Pray for me. All right. Yes. All right. Let's pray. We're going to all pray together with the 12 or 15 or so that lifted their hands. Everyone, let's pray this out loud together with them. Pray, Father God, forgive me of my sins. I choose to trust in You. I believe Jesus Christ died on a cross and paid the price for my sin. He made a way for me to experience the life of God. I accept Your free gift. I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, I make a new decision to follow Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church. Let's thank God for those that prayed the salvation prayer. Good for you. Destiny Church, get your expectations high. Destiny Church, get your faith high. Let it soar. Begin to see God using you to reach people around this community that no one has been able to reach. Get ready to receive people no one else wants. Get ready to receive people everyone else wants. Get ready for God to use your voice to be a connection, to draw people that came in. Listen, God can bring anybody into this house if you're willing and available. I never would have thought that on last Sunday night, Kevin Durant of the Oklahoma City Thunder would have shown up and attended our Sunday night service, and we made a connection with his family, all right? I'm telling you, God has so many influential people, so many people from what looks like a small world to a large world that He wants to bring in here, but you're the vessel. You're the one that will invite. You're the one that will connect. Get ready to make room for one of the greatest explosions Missouri has ever seen through the life of a church. Come on, you believe that? Amen.
We receive that word. Amen. Well, today we are so thankful to have
Pastor Kurt and his wife with us this weekend. They've been ministering all weekend long, Friday and Saturday and today. Now, those of you who went to the marriage retreat, we didn't charge anything extra on the marriage retreat. Matter of fact, we invest. We just charge the people who go exactly what the room costs, and then we, as a church, invest in the other things that it costs to put on that event as well. And today, we're going to take up a love offering for our special guest. We believe this is a great seed to plant our seed into, a love offering into. They have reached thousands and thousands of people across the nation, and especially in the Oklahoma City region, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we want to invest in them. Listen, he has never asked me one time for a love offering. He's never said, I got to have this or I want this. He has never even hinted to that. He's got such a giving heart. He just came, didn't once say, I got to have this. Can you cover this? Not at all. And so how much know that we should always bless those who come and bless us. But number two, we want to go above and beyond. When someone's got a spirit like that, it makes us want to even bless them even more, because we believe God has got a great spirit upon them, and we want to invest in that. You guys always step up to the plate and always invest in a ministry like this. And so today, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads. Just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do today to invest and give a love offering today to the Pancrats? What is the amount you want me to give? Now, as you hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, I just encourage you to be quick, to be obedient. Our ushers are going to come. This is what we're going to do today. As our ushers are coming to the front, they're going to pass the buckets, and we're going to take up a love offering. Everything you give today, and this offering right here will go to our guest. Not a single dime will be taken out. It all goes to them. After you give your offering today, if you believe that God is calling you to walk out, listen, if you believe God's calling you to walk out of knowledge and into power, saying, God, I don't want to just know who you are in my mind, but I want to experience your power in my praise, in my talk, in my heart, in my life. I want to plug into the power source of your Holy Spirit. I want you to join me around the front this morning as we close this song. I want you to step out of your seat. Say, God, I'm stepping in to a new power. I'm stepping into a new level, a higher dimension of what you're calling me to walk in. And join us around the front as we close in this song today that says, sons and daughters of the King. That's what we are.
Love walked among us. Love laid down his life to steal sin from us.
Pastor, this morning I'm asking Pastor Kurt and Nancy to come. I believe that we just want them to just pray over us. I believe in transfer anointing, okay? I believe that when God places people in your life that you have a kindred heart with, and a lot of things that we do at Destiny, I've gotten through the years just from your church. You didn't even know that. Some of the things I've picked up over the years. And I just want God just to use these spiritual parents that are here just to bless us and pray as we enter into a new season. As we enter, we're closing on new property starting tomorrow. Hallelujah. We're going to talk more about it next Sunday as we enter into a new season. We're going to be launching church plants out of Destiny Church this year. We're sending missionaries to Brazil. We're doing a lot of things happening right out of Destiny this year. We're moving to a new dimension. We're moving to a different level, and we want God just to bless. So I want you to raise your hands as we ask this Father. I'll give him an open invitation. This Father of our house, we just give you as a Father of our house. We adopt you, amen. Come and speak over us today.
Can you and Melody come over here and let us pray over you? Father, I just pray for this amazing couple. God, I thank you that you have set them in this city, in this region, for such a time as this. Father, I just pray that this church continues to stand shoulder to shoulder with them in everything your Spirit leads. May a great spirit of boldness and authority break out in their lives and in their church that has never been seen in this region before. God, I declare supernatural provision for the property, for the expansion, for the new things that will come in the future. God, I pray your favor and blessing upon this house, upon every life. God, we declare that mighty things are being done through Destiny Church. We bless this man and woman of God and all of the team that you have called together with them. And Father, we speak over the church. We declare that you anoint them, Father, to be a blessing. You use them to reach the lost. You bring forth their gifts and callings and talents. Father, I pray that the heart they have for this house, for this church, the love they have for you and your bride, this church, God, that it is only larger, that it is all consuming, that God, as they seek you first in this way, they will see you do amazing things over their lives and through them together as the people of Destiny Church. We declare it so in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Come on, one more time. Lift your hands. Let's declare it. Come on, Chris.
Hey. Come on.
Sons and daughters. Sons and
come on.
Daughters of the King.
Let's rejoice. We receive that today.
Won't you lift up your voice and sing. God drove the darkness out
when he rose.
When Jesus rose in life for God.
What a powerful time together today. Turn around, give someone a hug, give them a big smile, give them a high five, and say, man, God is good. God bless you.